You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly, back here on the campus of Brooklyn College. It's been a little minute, man. The episodes have been sporadic. Happy to be back for sure. We might as well just name this the LeBron episode, because we going heavy Bron on the topics. A lot to discuss. But you know, you ever seen a pretty girl walking down the block, and you know she don't want to be bothered? You could be in the library, in the gym. You know she does not want anybody to approach her. But yo, as a man, it's your duty. And I've had that conversation with them. Like, yo, miss, let me ask you. Do you agree that in life you only get one opportunity sometimes? And she'll be like, well, of course. Well, then, ma'am, you can't blame me for trying to seize this opportunity. You know, we all know opportunities sometimes only come once. And in the case of the Cleveland Cavaliers, blowing that game one against the Warriors was their one shot to win the finals. LeBron James had the most impressive playoff game of his whole career. And here they are with an opportunity to go ahead late in that game. But Mr. J.R. Smith forgets what the score is, forgets that the game is tied, and seems to be attempting to run out of the clock after retrieving a rebound off of a missed George Hill free throw. Yo, as a fan, I felt for LeBron. I felt for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know the effort and energy it took for them just to be in that position. Just to be in a position to win a game on the road when nobody thought you had a chance. And to blow it because of a mental error? That's tough. That is tough. And they were doomed from there. Now, people may say, yo, it was just one game, man. They were going to lose. No, that one game, if you go back home tied 1-1, yo, that's different than being 0-2 from a mental aspect. You thinking, man, I could really win this game. Guys will be a little bit more energized. That one game, that one opportunity was monumental, son. It was no small thing. Yo, I didn't even want to watch sports coverage after that. J.R. Smith, mental blunders. Anybody that knows me or played with me knows I was a high-strung kind of guy. That type of stuff would have drove me crazy. Listen, I'm not asking you to be the fastest or the quickest or jump the highest. Just think the game. That mental mistake was crippling, bro. And we saw the footage come out. What ended up happening was the Cleveland Cavaliers had to go into overtime with the Golden State Warriors. And prior to going to overtime, they had a camera shot of the Cleveland Cavaliers bench. And LeBron James was distraught. Distraught, man. Never seen him that upset. He looked out of it. He couldn't believe what just happened. And he faced some backlash for that. People believe, yo, that's not what a leader does. And I tried to think long and hard, what would I have done in that situation? What would I have done? And I already mentioned, yo, I was a high-strung dude. Like, it must have been the military in me. Everything had to be done the right way. And if it didn't, it's like, man, what the hell? But I believe that I would have been able to lead my team into overtime and put up a valiant effort. And that's what LeBron did. I didn't see any quitting him in that overtime. They tried to win the game, and they just fell short. But that game won, to me, that was the whole series. Cleveland Cavaliers ended up getting swept. LeBron James went on to post decent numbers, but they were never really in any of those games. Steph Curry and KD seemed to go back and forward. If you stopped one, the other one went off. But to me, it still all comes down to LeBron James. It all comes back to the king of Akron, Ohio. I want to unpack a few things some of the backlash and the conversation around the NBA Finals. One thing I heard was LeBron James didn't have enough help. And I beg to differ. I've seen LeBron James win an NBA championship with Mario Chalmers at the point guard position, with Norris Cole playing big minutes. These are not great players, but they were able to contribute. And to me, that was due in large part because there was a mentality with the Miami Heat that, hey, everybody is a part of this. Everybody's contribution matters. You know, that came down from Pat Riley to Eric Spoelstra. Everybody was empowered. I haven't seen that from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I blame LeBron James for that. I was reading this book. It was about management, and a military general said, he said, "I'm in command, but I'm out of control." Meaning, yes, I'm the top dog. I set the overall direction for where we want to be. But I still give my subordinates, my underlings, some autonomy. I don't want to be in control of every little thing they do. I don't want to micromanage them. I want to empower them to make decisions on their own. And LeBron James did not do that in this series. Every time one of his teammates grabbed the rebound, LeBron is right behind him clapping. Yo, 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 I'm right here. Yo, I cringed every time I saw that. Every time I saw that, LeBron, you have to give your teammates the opportunity. Hey, if he grabs the rebound, let him lead the break, LeBron. If George Hill grabs the rebound, let him push the ball up and see if he can make a play on his own. You were micromanaging these guys. How can they ever produce if they're scared to fail? You and I both know that's no way to do your job with somebody over your back being scared to fail. LeBron James did not empower these guys. He micromanaged them. LeBron, get out on the break. Let George Hill bring it up. Let Jeff Green grab the rebound and you guys are off to the races. They are professional basketball players as well. Are they great as you are? No, LeBron. But when you're in an organization like the Miami Heat, who empowered everyone on the club, you guys did great things. When you were in Miami, Brian Birdman Anderson was able to contribute. Again, Mario Chalmers contributed. Norris Cole contributed. You neutered your teammates in this finals. You got caught up in the, oh, yo, it's Bron and nobody. No, that's not the case. That's not the case. These guys are professional ball players. And another piece to that. When LeBron James would take a shot or make a move, you had Christian Thompson crashing to the glass. You had George Hill cutting. You had Kyle Korver covering off screens. You guys were playing 5-on-5 and great things could happen. When LeBron James was not shooting the ball, he was standing at the three-point line doing nothing. So now your team is playing 4-on-5. How can they be successful? Go back and look at those games. If LeBron James is not the person handling the ball, he's out of it, hands out. No, Brian, you need to jump in and be a cog in the wheel. If Jeff Green is making a move, Bron, run to the basket, crash, cut. Try to get an easy layup. With you this series, it seemed to be all or nothing. Either I'm the catalyst for what we're doing, or I'm an innocent bystander just watching you guys play. 4-on-5. That is not a recipe for success. Did the Golden State Warriors have a superior team as far as talent? Yeah, probably. But that does not excuse LeBron from the fact that he did not maximize his team's potential. He did not get the most out of everybody around him. And that's why it comes back to the King. Another big discussion that went on, or at least from what I saw, people talked about, man, LeBron James was tired. He had a heavy load to carry. I wish my brother D.A. was here. I would ask him, yo, D.A., during your college career, did you ever get tired playing a basketball game? As a human being, D.A., did you ever get tired playing a basketball game? If you ask me that question, the answer is an emphatic hell yes. Hell yeah, I would get tired playing basketball. I'm a human, right? Let me sidestep for a minute. Yo, the last three Olympics, we've watched Usain Bolt run circles around the world. Literally, run circles around the world. The fastest man in a row, three straight Olympics. And when those Olympics are finished, you hear people have fun conversations and speculate. Yo, imagine if Usain was in the NFL, man. Imagine him as a wide receiver or a kick returner. With that speed, it'll be phenomenal. But you never hear them speculate about him playing basketball. I mean, why not? He has speed. Usain Bolt is about 6'4". He got height. You know why they don't speculate about him playing basketball? Because we all understand that there's a certain mental acuity that goes with playing basketball. It's an art form. It's not just about physical prowess and being the fastest and the strongest. No. There's a mental aspect to the game. So yes, even if LeBron James was worn down, he still needs to do a better job of contributing. Even when he's worn down. That's what I miss most about the game, is the chess match. Okay, I'm a little winded now. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm let my teammate bring the ball up. I'm going to take a little break, walk up the court. You know what? I'm a little bit gassed. So instead of dribbling between my legs three times at the three-point line, I'm going to try to post up and get closer to the basket so I can make sharper moves so I don't exert too much energy. Every time you saw Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, they were in the post. Yes, that was the play, but it also allowed them the opportunity to not expend as much energy as freaking tap dancing at the three-point line. So, Bron, even if he was worn down, you can still contribute to a basketball team. Let me rest on offense. Let me pick my spots. I mean, you weren't guarding KD, so you rested on defense. That's when the chess match comes in, and I don't think he did a good job of it that series. Fatigue is not an excuse. You don't think Michael Jordan was fatigued when he played that flu game? That's when the mental aspect kicked in. Okay, I'm going to let Pippen bring the ball up. I'm going to pick my spots. Okay, we up by 20 points. I'm going to rest a little bit. We down by 6 points. All right, maybe I need to ratchet up the little offense or whatever. There's many different aspects. You pick and choose. You ration your energy. So don't you can miss me with that fatigue talk. Being less than 100%, man, that is the beauty of the sport of basketball. It's not just about brute strength and being at 100. You know, as I mentioned, it all comes back to the king. It all comes back to Mr. LeBron James. We could go back to the game one blunder. J.R. Smith, knucklehead J.R. Smith. Can you guys tell me who is J.R. Smith's agent? It's Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, an organization that many believe LeBron James is behind. LeBron James lobbied for J.R. Smith to be with that team years ago. He said, yo, the team needs to sign this guy. J.R. Smith might have been out of the league by now. So the fact that he is still on your team, LeBron, it's your fault. It's your fault. I wonder if you guys were like me when you were watching the finals. I was sitting there, especially game one when guys were competitive, and I said, man, if they had Kyrie Irving, This would be some series. Why is Kyrie Irving no longer in Cleveland? Oh, yeah. LeBron James. Kyrie had enough of being a part of LeBron James's punching bag. Where the media says, oh, he has no help, man. He needs more help. Kyrie said, nah, I'm out of here. I hit the biggest shot in Cleveland Cavaliers history, and y'all not going to give me any credit? Nah, I'm done with that narrative. I'm going to blaze my own trail. So LeBron James sat up in an interview and he said, yo, it was a mistake to trade Kyrie. Well, he's gone because of you. Now trading Kyrie was a mistake. But in the year's previous final, when you lost, you hung him out to dry. You let the media talk about, oh, he ain't good enough, or LeBron needs more help. Now you were missing him. Now it was a mistake to trade him. I'm just trying to point out to you how it all comes back to the king, to whom much is given, much is expected. I truly believe at some point in our life, we have an ability to affect where we are. Now, that was a bonehead blunder by J.R. Smith, but yeah, LeBron James is large part the reason he's still on the team. It would have been nice to have another offensive weapon like Kyrie Irving on the team, but yeah, LeBron James the reason he's in Boston. Every action has a consequence. So you are the reason your team was in that predicament. I want to talk about LeBron James's hand injury and his legacy. Now, my level of fandom for LeBron James has been similar to that of a roller coaster. When he first came out, I was a big fan. You know, you think of a roller coaster. The highest part of the roller coaster, at its peak. Yo, LeBron, he's that guy, son. He's versatile. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. Yo, we never seen anything like him. Then that kind of changed a bit. You know, you think of the depths of a roller coaster. I was like, I couldn't defend the underachieving. He would always come out and say things that I thought lacked accountability. And now, similar to when a roller coaster is pulling into to the finale, it starts to level out. You know, I'm at peace with who LeBron James is. I'm at peace with my level of fandom. I don't hate him. It's just he is what he is. He's a young man from Akron, Ohio, from the bottom. His mom sent him to live with this family and that family. He's been in the national spotlight since he was 16. And he's never did anything wrong. You know, he's one of the most talented basketball players ever. If the worst thing about him is that he wants people to like him, so be it. When he's playing ball, I'm tuning in. I'm tuning in. He's done phenomenal things in his community and business. Yo, more power to LeBron. But sometimes I wonder if he is content with his legacy and where he is at in the pantheon of NBA greats. Because I see like an internal struggle all the time. And to me, that hand injury and the way he presented it to us shows me that he is still struggling. He's still trying to control the narrative on what people think about him. LeBron James played in the NBA Finals 4 games. And in the final game, he comes to the press conference with a cast on his hand. And he wants us to believe that his hand has been broken since game 1. Now, in a world where the media knows who these guys sleep with at night, they could uncover mistresses and all type of stuff. Nobody knew that your hand was broken, LeBron. I remember years ago when the Knicks were in the playoffs. Yes, it had to have been years ago because freaking the Knicks ain't been in the playoffs in a long time. Amari Stoudemire, he hit a fire extinguisher and his hand was cut. We knew instantly. LeBron, in today's world, you can't keep anything under wraps. But back to it. His hand was cut, so he comes to the press conference with a wrap, with a cast. Why? So the media could report it. so people can speculate. Man, LeBron played a whole finals with his hand broke. Yo, imagine if he had that, if he was healthy, yo. He likes little stories like that to be out there. Because it always gives people the impression or the belief that, yo, if LeBron was LeBron, if he could have still won. Instead of the real narrative, which is, yo, that team was better than us. That team beat us. Yo, you got me, son. LeBron James doesn't have that quality in him. And that makes me wonder, yo, LeBron, you do know your reign is coming to an end at one day. I think it's going to be a hard fall from grace for him. To me, that's a prison mentally where you trying to control every little belief or story about you. A few years ago, Steph Curry won the MVP of the league, the first unanimous MVP ever. They went to get a comment from LeBron. LeBron said, well, you know, we got to reevaluate what MVP really means. No, LeBron, it's okay to just say, yo, that boy good. That's not a knock against your legacy, LeBron. You don't have to fight everybody on that. You should be at peace with where you are and what you've done. And I feel bad for him. It's scary that he still is trying to control all of these things. LeBron, you do know you're going to age one day, right? Then what's the story going, man, if I was in my prime, yo, dog, y'all got me. That is some sort of prison to be in, and I feel sorry for him. I just finished reading a book on the 1992 Dream Team. You know, that's when the first professional athletes competed in the Olympics. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, about 15 guys. 15 of those guys, about 15 of those guys are the top 50 basketball players in NBA history. Greatest team ever assembled. The top of the tops. And in that book, David Robinson, one of the best centers of all time, said, yo, these guys are cutthroat. Michael Jordan would step over his own mama to win a basketball game. That's Michael Jordan's legacy. That ain't the legacy of LeBron James, man. We got to end that conversation. Michael Jordan and LeBron are not the same. Michael Jordan is an assassin. He would have found a way to win games. LeBron James doesn't have that quality. And you know what? It's okay. Because just as much as LeBron is not Michael Jordan, guess what? Michael Jordan ain't LeBron. Michael Jordan ain't LeBron. On Michael Jordan's resume, he has that famous line, well, Republicans buy sneakers too. This is when they wanted Michael Jordan to back a Democrat who was looking to unseat a Republican. I forget his name, but the Republican had a history of bigotry and racism. Michael Jordan refused to cross that line. So, yeah, that's on his resume. LeBron James doesn't have anything like that. LeBron James is quick to speak out on social issues and tell you who he's representing and who he's behind. So, LeBron, be at peace, brother. Let Jordan have his legacy. Be happy with your own. Michael Jordan sat back for years and watched kids kill himself over his sneakers. Watched fights break out all over America during these releases. People getting hurt and trampled. Michael Jordan ain't say a word. I don't think LeBron will sit back and let that happen with his name attached to a product. So cool, yeah, LeBron ain't the cutthroat that Michael is, but Michael ain't who LeBron is. I'm interested to see how this young man continues to age. Because they seem to have a hard time letting go. They seem to have a hard time just saying, hey, you got me. Hey, I wasn't that great today. and being at peace with it. They want to control every little narrative. The man showed up with a cast on his hand and wants us to believe that his hand was broke for 4 days. For a week, rather. 4 games for a week. So if you play basketball for a week with a broken hand, you just had to get it wrapped before that press conference. You couldn't do that press conference without a wrap. That's you getting out there trying to just float that little kite out there to the media. So we can say, oh my gosh, LeBron, your hand was broken? You don't need that, King. You a king, bro. You did not need that. Man, that was crazy. You listening to WBH Radio. Told y'all we was going heavy LeBron, man. Brian. What else we got in the NBA news? Kevin Durant is speculating that he might retire at age 35. You know what? I can see it. Kevin Durant is somebody that made how much money last year? Maybe $25 million from the league. He signed a $200 million deal with Nike. He won his first NBA championship. He won his first finals MVP. And in the offseason, you know what we found him doing? We found him tweeting from a burner Twitter account defending himself. Now, I don't have a fraction of the money KD have. I got a whole lot more free time than KD, and I don't want to tweet. This man had the world at his fingertips, and he's in a corner somewhere on his phone talking about, no, KD's really the best. That makes me wonder, like, do these kids, they don't really love being a professional athlete. They love the sport, they like to play around, but they don't embrace everything that comes with it, the way Michael Jordan did, the way Derek Jeter did. So I could see him getting his money, his chips, and pew, saying peace out at 35. I want to go take pictures at the Super Bowl or whatever the hell he did a few years ago. I could see that. More power to them, man. If they happy, let them live. Speaking of fake Twitter accounts, I want to talk about the 76ers former president and general manager, Brian Colangelo. The website The Ringer did some investigative journalism, and they seem to uncover the fact that Mr. Colangelo was using up to 5 burner Twitter accounts, meaning he would go on Twitter as 5 different people and comment on his current players. One of the accounts commented on the undisclosed health status of one of his players. And another account defended a picture of Brian Colangelo. If you ever seen Brian Colangelo, it seems he wears these big ass collars on his shirt. And he went under the picture of one of his fake accounts and said, come on, guys, move on. It's just a collar. Stop commenting. And The Ringer found this out. And when they found out that he had 5 possible burner accounts, they called the 76ers to address this. But when they called, they only mentioned 2 accounts just to see what the other 3 would do. So when they called, the 76ers said, okay, we'll investigate. And the day they did that, guess what? All 5 accounts went private. So they only called about 2, but all 5 of them went private the same day. Now, that was enough evidence for me. Like, yo, y'all got that boy. That was enough evidence. He like, oh, snap, they know about these 2. Let me protect the rest. And an investigation was done. And Brian Colangelo resigned. He admitted to having known of about 2 of those accounts. Then he credited the other 3 to his wife. Now, I'll get into that in a minute. But first, I want to address the fact that he ended up resigning and why many people think this isn't a big deal. I've worked in professional organizations. These players, when they are in that building, That is their safe haven like no other place. I mean, it's phenomenal. I wish all of you fans could experience sitting in a room with a professional athlete where there's no media, where there's no fans, and you get to see the uncut, unadulterated. I remember being in the Yankee clubhouse and players going back and forth about which gender they want. You know what I'm saying? Like, having fun like that. Stuff you fans would never get to see. So if you have somebody in the ranks that can't be trusted, somebody in the ranks that's throwing out personal information like a player's health to the public, that is unhealthy for your franchise and your organization. Your players will not be able to perform to their best ability if they have to be on guard when in the building with anybody, let alone somebody at the top like Brian Colangelo, the general manager, the guy making the decisions. You can't have a mole at that level of the organization. That's detrimental to the product on the field, on the court. Trust is a big thing. And let me tell you why, another reason why it is problematic. Because if you have a lead of your organization who has to anonymously tweet, hey, I don't like what Joel Embiid is doing, as opposed to calling Joel Embiid into his office and saying, yo, Joel Embiid, I don't like what you're doing. If your leader is not capable of that, then you have a coward as the head of your organization. Great leadership qualities transfer no matter what the business, whether it's a retail, it's the military, it's sports. And one of those such qualities is leaders make tough decisions. Leaders say unpopular things. Brian Colangelo, if you thought Joel Embiid was doing something you didn't like, you call him into your office. You don't tweet from a burner account. That's cowardly. That's a lack of leadership. And I don't know if you know this, but your sole duty is to be a leader. So you can't have that. See, I'm a firm believer in that authenticity always wins out. Even if you called and beat in your office and you said something and he was mad at you for a day or two, he'd get over it. But in the end, he'll respect you for being real with him. Not going behind his back. That's why Brian Colangelo had to get the hell out of Dodge. He cannot be here any longer. Especially in a league like the NBA where the players have guaranteed contracts. Players run things in the NBA. Players run things. No free agent was signed with a general manager who can't be trusted. No free agent was signed with a general manager who goes behind people's back, who doesn't have the fortitude to say what he needs to say to his players. Men respect, hey, if he told me in my face, dang, I may have not liked it, but hey, I respect it. And I want to address another part of this. People on I've seen some of the pundits and the analysts saying, can you believe how thin-skinned a 50-year-old man would be to the point where he would go on Twitter in a burn account and defend his shirt choice? My answer is hell yes. Jealousy, envy, thin skin, these are quality of human beings. It's not age-specific. Because he's 50 years old doesn't mean he now becomes better at taking criticism. So, yes, I can see him going online and trying to defend his moves. Another thing he was doing on Twitter was that he was bashing the man who he replaced. You know, the Philadelphia fans would say, hey, the guy before Colangelo, his name was Sam Hinkie, he built this team, this great team that we have. And Colangelo and his burner accounts would come on and say, no, Hinkie was a bum. Hinkie was dumb. Thin-skinned isn't the word. But yes, even at 50 years old, human beings have those qualities. You know, when you're a child, your mom would be like, yo, that's an adult, son. Pay them that respect. Adults know better. And when I was a child, I thought, okay, magically, once you turn 18, you get all of the knowledge that an adult has. I soon figured out that wasn't the case, man. That was not the case. So whether he's 50 or 20, yeah, people still succumb to heartbreak. They still be envious, jealous. They get mad. They get angry. That's not age specific. Those are qualities of human being. So yes, I can see why even at 50, that man would be thin skinned. That man will act the way he did with the fake account. You got to get him the hell out of there. You got to get him the hell out of there. And another part to the equation is people say, man, that Colangelo name, he was basketball royalty. There's no way he could have did that. I drive limousines and I've been in contact with a lot of successful people, actors, athletes, bankers, stay-at-home moms with an online business. And to me, you can always tell a difference between somebody who is self-made versus somebody who may have inherited their wealth. Somebody who may be a trust fund kid or somebody we would call a silver spoon guy. Now, Brian Colangelo's daddy, Jerry, yeah. He's basketball royalty, former owner of the Phoenix Suns. He helped revitalize the USA basketball program after they won the bronze medal in those Olympics. Yeah, he's a self-made man. Those guys, they know what it is to be at the bottom. They know what it is to take criticism. They know the struggle. They know the journey. Like, I might be with a self-made guy in a limousine. I'm with him for 8 hours. And he'd be like, yo. He drink up all the water in the car. He's like, yo, Will, we got any more water? I'm like, nah, man, that's it. He'd be like, all right, pull over right here. I'll jump out and get some more. Now, if it's a silver spoon guy and you tell him, yo, there's no more water in the car, he might lose his mind. What are we going to do? I don't. Yo, dude, we just stopped to the store to get more water. Second generation guys, they don't know the struggle. They didn't earn the same stripes that the first generation did. So all of this credit that was attached to the younger man, Mr. Brian Colangelo, is because of his daddy. Don't give this guy that credit for what his daddy did. We don't actually know how good Brian is. Because we can assure for his lifetime, he's lived in large part off of that name and those relationships. We don't know if he could really lace up his boots and get his hands dirty. Hell, what has he done? This past draft, he got fleeced. He traded to get the number one pick from the Boston Celtics. So the Boston Celtics got the third pick, and they ended up getting a superior player. The Celtics just fleeced Brian Colangelo. Who did Brian Colangelo draft? A kid who's not sure he still wants to play basketball. So, yes, put the brakes on all the credit y'all want to give Colangelo. Joel Embiid was there when he got there. Ben Simmons, everybody in the world knew he was the number one draft pick. He didn't get credit for that. The first year that Colangelo has to make a move, he drafts probably the worst kid in the draft. A number one pick who forgot which hand he shoots with. A number one pick who he doesn't even know if he wants to play basketball. If he has the mental capacity to be on a professional basketball court. Get Colangelo the hell out of here. And the last part about it. His wife taking the rap. I think they all sat in a room with his daddy included. They had a powwow. Said, Dad, this is going to end my career. How do I get from under here? And they came up with the conclusion to make the wife the scapegoat. They made the wife the scapegoat. The reason for that is so Brian can hopefully have a shot at another job. He threw his wife under the bus. You want me to believe that she was up there tweeting about medical information about one of these players? Three separate accounts. His wife was probably at some country club enjoying her life. She was on no. That's a poor attempt to save face. Because in the NBA, when the players run the league, ain't no big name free agent signing with this guy. I think this is a family decision. They said, hey, they turned to the wife. Yo, baby, you got to take the rap. You like having them pearls on your neck? If you ever want me to work again, you got to take that rap. That's what we saw take place. And you know what? I think his dad is so powerful. That power structure in the NBA is so ancestral. They take care of each other. They're going to try to ease Brian Colangelo back into this league. Watch. First, he's going to be a consultant somewhere, and then he's going to reemerge with another team in some capacity. They're going to try to fly him up the ranks. We'll see. We'll see. Thanks for joining me on WBH Radio. It's your boy, William Holly. I recently got accepted into a doctorate program at East Tennessee State University. Yeah. So whatever y'all call me, just make sure y'all put doctor in front of it real soon. But no, I'm excited about it. I'm going to be studying leadership and sports. I want to be one of these intellectual types, you know what I mean? But in all seriousness, I'm just going to bring the barbershop talk to the classroom and just use fancier words and hopefully draw a nice little paycheck for it. But in the interim, I've been studying some of these intellectuals. You know, there's a guy by the name of Michael Eric Dyson, I think he did. He does a lot of things with hip-hop and race. And, you know, it's cool. I don't agree with everything, but he's definitely smart, definitely entertaining. And recently, he did a debate, a charity debate in Toronto. And the topic of debate was political correctness. There was a side for, and there was a side against. Dyson was on the for side. He said, hey, being politically correct is necessary. We have to respect the concerns of each culture, religion, whatever it may be. If a woman wants to be addressed a certain way, hey, that's the way we should do it. And the opposition said, we're getting out of hand with this political correctness. People are going to make mistakes when they speak, but it is the intent that should matter most. If I walk to you up to you and I say, hey, man, what's up? And that's not the way you want to be addressed. I mean, my intent should matter. Right? I shouldn't be crucified because I said the wrong word. We humans, you know? And something took place on ESPN the other day. Comedian Steve Harvey was on. He was speaking with the great Stephen A. Smith. And he was talking about the Golden State Warriors. And he called them a bunch of gorillas. You know, I could assume doing part two, the qualities of a gorilla, being strong, being tough to overcome. In fact, I'm going to play the clip for you right here.
What's your issue with the Golden State Warriors? Anything you can do to derail them?
No, you can't stop them. You got to outscore them. You can't stop all them boys. They got too many gorillas on the team. They coming to play, man. They got 800-pound gorillas on their team. So they coming to play. Look, Steve, I understand.
What do you think of that comment? Pretty benign, right? But many people were outraged. Because not too long ago, an ESPN analyst by the name of Doug Adler, a white man, during the broadcast of a tennis match, referred to Venus Williams' style of play as gorilla. Take a listen here.
You'll see Venus move in and put the gorilla effect on. Charging.
Man, oh man. That goes back to that debate they were having in Toronto with the political correctness. Now, we know what the word gorilla means. Guerrilla warfare. That gentleman, Doug Adler, was fired from his position with ESPN after those comments. While Steve Harvey could still be found every weeknight hosting Family Feud from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. How do we reconcile that to the world? How do we explain the difference in one person can use the word and one person can't? I don't know. That's why I found that debate very interesting. We're getting into a place where political correctness is costing people their job, and it's boxing out people who didn't really mean any harm because they may have not been aware of the what's allowed and what's not allowed in this culture and that religion. And I believe that's contributing to the divisiveness in the country. Good quality people are getting thrown into a place and put into a box with labels like racist and stuff that they say, hey, that doesn't fit me. Okay, I may have used a word that may have been offensive, but you got to take into account my intent. And those people who may have been on the left at one point now feel they have to switch to the right. And I just bring that up to say, you know, both people, both parties, left, right, black, white, everybody is contributing to the divisiveness in the country. I sat back and I watched people come for Steve Harvey, mostly those on the right, of course. They say, hey, man, y'all fired Doug Adler, but why did Steve Harvey get away? And I had to ask the same question with them. How do we reconcile that? How do we put that in writing that one guy can say it and one guy can't? You know, how do you legislate that? I always refer to my boy Fenton on the legal field. How do we write that in the law where everybody can understand? Because to me, it's a simple, yeah, black guy can say gorilla, white guy can't. That's tough. That's a tough box to put people in. Good-hearted people who don't mean any harm. That makes people who went to the poll for President Obama in the very next election go to the same polls and then vote for somebody who may be the polar opposite of Obama and a gentleman like Trump. Because they're like, man, I'm getting boxed out. I ain't even mean anything. But, yo, we're going to get on the phone with my boy Fenton in a minute. So right now we got friend of the show, Fenton, on with us. Fent, what up?
What's going on, man? They got me calling in because we still have a contract dispute. So I thought I signed a deal.
Y'all don't want to show up, man. When y'all get free time, you and DA, y'all don't want to show up. But let's just get right into this here. So Fenton, we coming off the finals. We got a 4-0 sweep of the Cavaliers. We got KD winning his second championship. We got LeBron James with a broken hand. LeBron doesn't have enough help. I mean, yo, what stuck out to you from the finals, man? What's your number one takeaway?
What would have happened if George Hill hit that free throw in game one? That's my biggest takeaway, because Houston took Golden State to 7 games, and we don't know what would have happened if Houston had a healthy roster of players. So I'm just trying to say Golden State didn't play their best, and they still ended up winning the championship, which is, I don't want to say it's a slight on the rest of the league, but it's a lot of luck, circumstance, and then maximizing that, those opportunities that they got. They got them there. So shout out to Golden State and their win. But the what ifs, man, that I have us talking all summer.
The what ifs. I thought basketball was not susceptible to the what ifs because they play an extended series and the best team should always come out on top. Now, I'm with you. I thought that the Cavaliers squandered that one opportunity. But if LeBron James was able to get his team to that point close in one game, how do you explain the blowout seemingly in the rest and even in that last game not competing at all?
Well, the last game was a foregone conclusion that the series was over. They wasn't coming back from 3-0, so you might as well, you know, go get a head start on your fishing trip. But you gotta honestly say, like, if you're looking at all the games, all the first three games were all competitive. For the most part, game one could have went either way. Game two was good down to the last couple minutes when Golden State pulled away. Game three, Steph Curry had a fourth quarter, you know, and KD all of a sudden want to wake up in the fourth quarter and just blow the doors open. So each game could have went either way. Both teams had the opportunity to pull away, but it was tight up until the end, except for game four. So I can't say that. Even when Kevin Durant hit that dagger three-point shot, it was still a ball game until that happened. But those threes are just so demoralizing. You get hit with a three like that, you're like, geez, man, like, what are we going to do?
I got you.
But hold on. It's more about momentum and attitude than actually competition. I think the Cavs didn't have the mental fortitude to fight it out. They were defeated because they were at a disadvantage coming in because they had the lack of talent, and they used that as a crutch, and that crutch broke. And you saw what happened.
Hold on. Two things I want to address in there. You spoke about leadership and mental fortitude. There was an extended clip of the Cleveland bench in that game one prior to overtime, after JR had just squandered an opportunity by running out of the clock, after LeBron James had just learned that his team still had a timeout. That was an extended clip with LeBron James being seemingly distraught. Now, Fent, my argument, it always come back to the king. As a leader, isn't it your duty? Is it not your duty to prepare your team to go out in overtime and win? What did you make of that extended clip of him just seemingly being out of it, even though there's still more basketball to play?
He was defeated mentally. Like I said, they used their crutch as not having the talent to compete with Golden State, and they used that to their disadvantage. If they would have came out and said, look, we're not as talented, maybe not as good, but we have LeBron, and we're going into overtime. We had an opportunity to win this game. Let's pull it out. Then maybe they come out a little bit more energized. They come out ready to play, and they might steal game one. Who knows what would have happened? But they just seemed defeated. I mean, it was just a series of unfortunate events, man. There was just no – it just kept getting beat. It was like a 12-round beatdown, man. It just kept getting punched in the mouth. They looked at their corner, and the corner man was like, you don't go back out there.
Right. Now, again, my take is it always comes back to the king. And when I said that, I think people thought I was being harsh. Like, look, man, he's going up against a great team. But it came out recently, Kobe Bryant spoke and said, hey, LeBron James has to find a way to win. Kobe Bryant referenced a conversation he had with Michael Jordan when Kobe seemed to be venting. Like, yo, Mike, we just lost to the Celtics. They got KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Rasheed Wallace. And Mike said, yeah, but it is what it is. You have to find a way to win. So I want to ask you, where do you fall on the side of the argument of LeBron didn't have enough? I think I already know where you stand. And what do you make of Kobe Bryant's assessment that, yo, LeBron, this is what you have and you need to make it work?
I don't want to hear nothing from Kobe, man. I don't want to hear nothing from Kobe or nothing he has to say, because honestly, he has a lot of things that happened that he was able to put in the position that he was in. And some of it is his doing, but he had a lot of help. But MJ, the GOAT, he's always right, man. With all else fails, listen to the GOAT. You got to find a way to win. LeBron, that was his opportunity to rally the troops and find a way to win. I've never seen LeBron play the way he played in game one. Ever in my life.
Right.
He was unstoppable. He could have kept that same attitude and same momentum and attack and probably beat Golden State because he was getting every whistle. They had no answers for him defensively. So he had the momentum in his favor because Golden State was a team defeated and they got luckless. And you know what? They took advantage of the opportunity, and LeBron and the Cavaliers, they did not.
Fent, I did not watch the end of game four. As you mentioned, it was a foregone conclusion. A few days later, I saw LeBron James was at a press conference with a cast on his hand. And I couldn't believe it. I knew something. Nothing happened in that game. I immediately jumped to, here this boy is trying to control the narrative on, man, if I was 100%, LeBron would have did this damage, that. What did you make of the broken hand? Because me, I take it as him giving himself an out. And we know LeBron James is somebody who cares about what the public thinks. He's not somebody that I felt has the accountability to say, yo, I just got beat today. Fam, what do you make of the broken hand? Not many people believe it.
Well, I honestly don't believe it because he didn't say the hand was broken. He kind of said it was damn near broken or sort of broken or almost nearly broken or partially broken to the point where you could consider it broken. He didn't come out and say the hand was broken. I think he was just wearing one of those Michael Jackson gloves in the hand. Like, he was just trying to match the outfit because you don't play like the way he played and your hand was broken.
Okay, thank you. All right. Yo, that was sad. And it's sad. LeBron James, you know, your reign is going to come to an end at some day. And this has been my frustration. He seems to always have an excuse. Yo, LeBron James, Steph Curry won the MVP, the first unanimous MVP ever. LeBron says, well, we need to reevaluate what the MVP process is. Like, he always is taking it as a shot to his legacy. Yo, LeBron, just come out and say, yo, I got beat today. It's okay. But one
you keep asking for the players to come out and say these things. Nobody's going to do that. I don't think anybody has come out and said directly what they wanted to say. Or even if they just come out and say, yo, we got beat by a better team. Like, you don't hear those words anymore. Mm-hmm. So to come out and ask the players to come out and say, no, nobody's going to give you their honest opinion. If you see him on the street, he'll tell you. But he's not going to say that on ESPN after the game, taking questions from the media. Let's be realistic, man.
I wanted to ask you about the Golden State Warriors. You know, Fenn, when I was in the Army, we had to learn the rank structure. And there is no current five-star general. That is only reserved for war times. And after that series, I kind of feel that way about the best player in the league. Like, the spot is vacant. You can't be the best player in the league when you pass it back and forth. One year is Bron, one year is KD, one year is Kawhi Leonard. The Golden State Warriors won, but KD was a no-show in the first game. Steph Curry had a 1-for-14 performance. I mean, what did you think of the Golden State Warriors and how they performed and where KD ranks at in the hierarchy of the NBA and also Steph Curry?
Well, I don't think you've ever seen Voltron. I don't know if you know Voltron, you know, the animated series back in the 80s and 90s. I don't think you've ever seen Voltron defeat the enemy with one line. When they come together and form Voltron, they are unstoppable. So on any given night, you have a guy in, let's start at Draymond Green, utility nights. He's going to do everything he needs to get it done. He had a triple-double in Game 7. He carried that team on his back and still lost in the 2016 finals. You got a guy like that on your team. He's going to show out. He's going to give you 100% energy and effort. He may not be the most talented player, but he's going to show out. He's going to ball hard. You got a guy like Klay Thompson. The man scored damn near 40 in a quarter.
True.
He had he could have scored 100 points if they didn't take him out in the third quarter with 11 dribbles. 11 dribbles. Some people get up the court in 11 dribbles. He scored almost 100 points in three quarters with 11 dribbles. Then you got KD, Slim Reaper, 7-foot shooting guard. And then Steph Curry, like literally NBA Jam. There's nothing you can do against a team like that. There really isn't anything you can do besides outscore them. And you saw what the Rockets tried to do with that, and they lost. It may be a health, but health issue came to them, how they lost that series. But you cannot withstand their onslaught. When they're coming, they keep coming, they keep coming, they keep coming. There's nothing you can do against that team, man. They may not have a go-to guy. They don't need a go-to guy because they have four players that could give you a bucket when needed be. And guess who's on the bench? Or guess who's the fifth option? Andre Iguodala. This guy was the number one option in the Philadelphia team who was a recurring team in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Right.
So he's no bum. He's no chump. This guy was a max player for a Philadelphia team that he left to come to Golden State and play a role, play a role.
That is
so
true.
What are you going to do? You're boxed in on all sides. There's no way out of it.
That is true. Fenn, I want to move on and ask you about... Oh, before I go there, you saw that it came out today that Gary Payton said LeBron James' son is currently enrolling in high school in Los Angeles?
Oh, really? No, I didn't see that. LeBron James doing that?
No, Gary Payton, former NBA player, said his son is already in high school in California, Los Angeles.
Hold on, I missed that. You're breaking up.
I said, Gary Payton, former NBA player Gary Payton, told the media that LeBron James' son is currently enrolled in high school in Los Angeles.
Was that always the case? I thought his son was going to high school this year or the following year.
Yeah, it's this year. It's coming up. So
I guess that's a sign.
Everybody's
going to LA.
Everybody's going crazy. But y'all wanted to ask you about this, what's going on in Philadelphia or what went on. 76ers general manager came out that he possibly had some fake Twitter accounts. There were five total in question. He copped to two, and he had his wife cop to the other three. That's what he wants us to believe. What do you make of that situation? Should he have lost his job or been forced to resign the way he did?
I mean, in any entity, in any business structure, you give away insider secrets, you're liable to lose your job. That is business 101. So regardless of how it came out, either it was through his wife, either it was through him, the source of the leak was the Colangelo, and you got to get rid of the Colangelos, regardless of what you do. You see, Martha went to jail for just lying about the possibility of insider trading. You know what I mean?
Who did?
So
I didn't catch
Martha
that.
Stewart. Martha oh, Stewart right, went right. to yes, jail yes, for insider yes, trading because yes. of a conversation she, or information she obtained from an insider in the entity where she was right. able to sell her stocks. And then she went to jail for that. You don't leak insider secrets. You keep your mouth shut and you run business as usual. So he had to go. Even if it wasn't him, if it wasn't his wife, let's say it was somebody else in the organization that come to find out they were getting information from him through like casual conversation, maybe he could have saved the job and that person would have to go, but there would have been some penalties for that Colangelo had it. I would assume there should be some penalties coming down his way. After you don't just give up that type of information.
Yeah, and my belief is that he made his wife cop to the accounts with the more harsh information, like when he was speaking ill of Joel Embiid. I believe he did that so he can save some kind of face and have a shot at another NBA job. Now, I believe I don't think he should get another job because having dissension in the ranks at the top is the worst. Having a coward, having a liar at the top of the organization is the worst. But I believe NBA circles are so ancestral that somebody's going to take care of him and try to find him another spot. Do you think we will see him heading another NBA franchise in the future?
I mean, it is possible because the Colangelo family basically is a royal family in the NBA. You know, you don't put together the dream team and you run NBA basketball, NBA, you know. And
yeah, he used to own the Suns. Yeah.
They ain't going to lock him out. I don't know. Some fool will give him a job, but I don't see what's the merit, like, bringing him back into the league.
Stop with that NBA.
So special.
Stop with that NBA royalty stuff. That's his daddy's name, man. He's a Silver Spoon Trust Fund kid.
That's what I'm saying. What did he do to deserve the right to get a second chance? He did nothing. He's doing everything off his daddy's.
Thank you. Thank you.
So he's done nothing to prove himself worthy of getting that because basically the GM before him kind of orchestrated the whole Philly move and the process. He just like Steve Kerr, right? People don't want to give Mark Jackson all the credit. They said Steve Kerr enhanced the team. No, the team was going to get to where they was getting to, but Steve Kerr getting the credit for Mark Jackson's team. Same way the son is getting credit for the father's work that he put in back in the days.
Got you. One last thing before I get you out of here, man. I know you got to get back to work. I was watching hip-hop intellectual Mr. Michael Eric Dyson. He participated in a charity debate in Toronto a few weeks ago, and the topic of the debate was political correctness. There was a side for and there was a side against. Michael Eric Dyson said, you should be for political correctness. We have to respect each different party, race, religion. And the con side said, hey, political correctness is dangerous. Intent should matter. If somebody misspeaks, okay, let's educate them, but we shouldn't throw them out. We shouldn't just toss them to the side and have people lose their jobs. Intent should matter. And I thought that conversation reared its head recently when Steve Harvey was on ESPN with Stephen A. Smith. And when he was referring to the Golden State Warriors, he called them a bunch of gorillas. Like behemoth 800-pound gorillas, these guys are tough. And then I saw Steve catch some backlash online because last year, an ESPN analyst, Doug Adler, when referring to Venus Williams in a tennis match and the way she was charging the net, he called it gorilla, the way she was charging the net. Now, people online are saying, yo, how can we reconcile this? How does one man lose his job and the other man could be caught every weekday hosting a Family Feud 5:30 to 6 p.m. Central? Like, how do we explain that? What these people are upset and I'm right alongside with them asking the question. Yo, fam, what do you make of that scenario?
What I make of it, like you said, you have to define the intent. Steve Harvey's intent when making that comment is to say that the Golden State Warriors are a formidable opponent, comparable to the analogy he made was to a pack of gorillas.
Okay.
The tennis analyst, I don't know his intent. I don't know what he meant. But
from
what I've read on the topic and what I've seen of this man, it would appear that he is not in favor, or how would I say it? He's not one of Serena's biggest fans.
Fan, that's dangerous. How can we measure intent? I want to ask. How can we say with certainty that we know what Steve was saying and not this gentleman, Doug Adler?
Like I said, from what I've read about the gentleman himself, he's not one of Serena's biggest fans. So in ways to play off of words and try to come out on top, which he ended up losing that battle, he tried to play on the words and compare Serena to the comparison that she's been getting her entire career, that she is the brawn rather than the talent. That she is the, like I said, brawn instead of the beauty.
Right, right.
So that's how the light and the media is always trying to paint Serena as brawn rather than beauty. So that's what I believe that's where he was going. I don't believe he was saying that his turf tactics were comparable to guerrilla warfare tactics. Come on now.
And Faye, I always, with you, I like to go the legal route. That, okay, how do you legislate that? How do you put that in writing for a person, for them to understand that one guy is still hosting Family Feud and the little kids show, Little Tykes, and one man is without a job? How do you write a rule that we can all abide by and understand? I really feel situations like that cause divisiveness also. We're putting people who may be innocent with no malice in their heart, we're putting them in a racist box. And that contributes left, right, black, white. That contributes to divisiveness as all. I mentioned that's how we get guys who voted for Barack Obama. And in the very next election, they vote for somebody that's the polar opposite in Donald Trump because they're feeling boxed out, feeling without a voice.
If that may be the case, but I don't know. The English language is such where one word can mean 35 different things. And you want to talk about the law. The law is such where there is no definite answer. It's based on the words, which unfortunately the English language, you could be very, you know, it's opinion-based how you want to define something. So I can see something one way. You can see something another way. Somebody else can see something completely different view of the topic.
Right.
So our opinions is going to factor in on how we view something that's happening. But at the same time, this man has a history of not being Serena's biggest fan. That's what I'm going to say he is.
All right, bro. I didn't see that history. But, yo, I appreciate you, man. That's WBH Radio. We out.
Yep.